I thought maybe he's waiting to take the offering afterward to see if people wanted to give after they heard me or not. I thought that was part of it. All right. Well, if our microphone comes and goes tonight, well, we'll switch to another one. But is it all right so far? You be the judge out there. We want no need to lug this around if it's not working too good. That's a hand mic there, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we go to that. We have to then. Well, we appreciate seeing you tonight on the Monday night. I thought we had a good day yesterday around the altar. People prayed last night. People prayed yesterday. Thank God for the old-fashioned altars that we can come and pray. I go to churches today, and they're not in another denomination. And I look for the altar, and there's no altars. I say, Pastor, where's the altars? Do you have any altars? Said, no, we took them out there in the way. Said, don't have room for them. And said, if people want to pray, we got a prayer room back here. Take the FBI to find it, because it's way hid somewhere back in the building. But good to see old-fashioned altars still left in the church. Amen. When we don't have room for the altar, well, we've run out of room. We need to do something. Abraham built an altar wherever he went. He went on and followed God. Wherever he told him to go, whatever he told him to do, he obeyed that voice. God had made fantastic promises to Abraham. His seed will be at the stars of heaven as the sand of the sea. Maybe when he looked up at night and counted the stars, he thought of that. Or maybe when he brushed the sand from his shoes, he thought of it. The fantastic promises. No doubt suffered ridicule. Maybe like Noah a little bit, building an ark when no one could see the need. And here he is, Abraham, elderly man. He and his wife said they're going to have a baby. Now, it puts you in jail today, somebody going around like that old. They'd arrest you. Well, anyway, he believed God, and God fulfilled his promise. All he had to do is just follow and obey. Amen. Well, that wasn't in the program at all. I don't hit my brain when I came up here just now. whatever I think of, I say it, I think. Sometimes not the best. Minister asked me one night, said, what are you speaking on tonight? We were sitting there, and I said, really, I have no earthly idea. And I said, I never do know what I'm talking on. He said, what? You don't know? I said, that's right, I don't know. And I won't know till I get up there. He said, that'd run me crazy. I said, yeah, it'd run me crazy if I had to have it on a paper, for I'd afraid I'd lose it, like you lost your paper tonight, you see. But you found it, that's right. Amen. Let us pray. Father, make us a blessing tonight. Let there be good accomplished in this service. Have your way in our hearts and lives. Bless the people tonight that have sacrificed and come to the house of God. If there's visitors here tonight, we ask your blessings upon them and bless their church, we pray. Have your way in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think you want us to hear talking on future events, and the way the questions went last night, they was directed in the future, and we can do that. We can talk about the future events tonight. What will happen after the rapture? Is that what you want? Somebody said to me one time, said, well, there's no need to study Revelation because we won't be here. Why bother with it? I said, well, that's right. That's Well, I studied the Old Testament because we wasn't here and that happened either. And really, why bother about the rapture? Because it's going to take place anyway, whether we study it or not. So why don't you forget the whole thing? All Scripture is good and is profitable. Amen. I tell you, I enjoy studying Revelation. Lady drove around the church one night and she said, I don't want to hear those things. Said, do you know the more you hear, the worse your judgment's going to be? And I said, yeah, and you're going to get it because you knew you should have been in here at a service tonight. And you driving around out there, that's going to make it worse for you. Amen. So after the rapture, the man of sin will be revealed, called the son of perdition. He and the false prophet will be two literal human beings. They'll be endowed with all the power that Satan can give any human being, insomuch they can call fire down from heaven, perform signs and wonders during the tribulation days. Now, beloved, your Bible said signs follow them that believe. We're not to be sign chasers, I don't guess. But people today, we're chasing signs. We want to, if we hear something here, we want to, oh, we got to run there. Well, you can't run there and bring that back here. You got to get it right here. It's got to happen here. And God's without respect of persons. Now, I remember in the 60s, long back there, people was running all over. And I told my church, I said, now, if this is of God, we want it. And let's just pray and ask God to help us right here in this church. You don't have to run all over. But I can see people are hungry today. They're hungry for the old-time manifestation of the power of God. And it's not just people. Sometimes we get after the people, but the ministers today, they're running all over, trying to see what's going on down there, what's going on over there. And I want to go see this. Well, a lot of these things is nothing new, really. We've come through a lot of stages. We came through the latter rain deal, where we came through passing out gifts and giving gifts to different ones. We've come through those stages. And I never did tell you, Pastor, I don't think I did, but I have several gifts given to me. Now, you didn't know that. Not by the Lord. He was waiting for that, I'm sure. I come through those early days, yay, I give unto you the gift of sowing, but it never did work. Those gifts don't work, you know. I was in a church a while back, and the brother, he went around different, said, brother, I have a word from the Lord. I have a word from the Lord. And he had a word from about everybody. And I got up the next side. Now, a lot of these people have word from the Lord. You better be sure it's from the Lord. Don't grab everything that comes along. So we've gone through a lot of stages of sign chasing. Up in Ohio, they had started out a movement there, Back to God movement, wholeness or something. Where you remember it or not. And I was a speaker in Oklahoma ministers meeting. And I came in and I said, I didn't know it hit Oklahoma. And a lot of people have already gone in for it. And so I said, I just left Ohio up there, and they got a brainstorm up there. They're chasing out Back to God movement, wholeness. And I noticed the superintendent began to slide his feet and got awful nervous. And right after the service, the ministers came up and said, say, the meeting, your schedule, said, we're not going to have it now. I said, oh, it's fine. And another one, here come another one. And he said, say, I said, that's fine. We've canceled your meeting. I knew what they were going to say already. But one or two I talked to, I said, look now, hold steady. You don't want to leave the church, pull out the assemblies, and you're going to run off on it here. I said, hold steady. This is of God. We want it. You don't have to get a brainstorm. And I was able to save some of them. And then those that did chase off, they learned a lesson and come back. See, we get all excited about things like that. Well, we are hungry, and it's good we should be hungry. Amen. But here the Antichrist and the false prophet, they'll call fire down, perform signs and wonders, and will deceive people during the tribulation days here. They'll be given all the power that Satan can give any human being. And they'll be revealed after the rapture of the church. Not before. The church has to go, and then shall that wicked, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume here with the spirit of his mouth, will destroy here with the brightness of his coming. He will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. They go directly into the lake of fire here. And Satan goes in 1,000 years later, and your Bible has this to say in Revelation 20, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are. They have been there 1,000 years and wasn't annihilated. If you can go for one, you can go for two. So here in the little book of Daniel, Daniel here was projecting them here into the future, showing them future events of what would happen when that man of sin comes on the scene. A lot of people thought Antiochus Epiphanes would be the Antichrist because he polluted the temple, offered a swine on the altar, did many abominable things, and many prophetical teachers, they jumped at the conclusion that Antiochus Epiphanes, who reigned from 175 to 163 BC, that he would be the man of sin. But Daniel, in his writings, he kept saying, in the time of the end, at the last time, pointing us on down here, this last Syrian king, he foreshadowed a little bit what the man of sin will do when he comes on the scene here. If you want to, we can take a little look at two or three chapters here in Daniel. Daniel, the second chapter, you find the children of Israel carried captive off into Babylon because of their spiritual failures. They had miserably failed the Lord, and here we find them in Babylon. While they were there, Daniel rose to prime minister, retained it throughout the 70 years of captivity. Never was his character impeached, and everybody knew the God that Daniel served. You know, Daniel even opened his window and prayed out. He didn't mind people hearing him. Today, you know, you're not to pray. You're not to have prayer in the schools. My daughter's a school teacher. I told her here a while back, I said, Donna, most of you are Christians. Take your stand, pray, do everything you want to do. They can't fire the whole bunch of you. They can't do that. They'd shut things down. Yeah. I appreciate a girl up in Youngstown, Ohio. She plays the piano, and she's a school teacher. All right, she prays every day with the kids and reads the Bible. The superintendent came in one day, and she was praying with the students, reading the Bible, said, "You can be fired for that. I could fire you for that." She said, "You fire me." Says, "I dare you." And went on reading and praying, and they left. Now, that's what you call a Protestant. Amen. And he couldn't fire her anyway. Her daddy was a song leader in the church, and his name is DiBartolo. And his brother owned the 49ers. His brother owns malls, motels, and everything you can think of across America. That's the rich people. You don't push them around too much. You got Ross Perot down here. He's going to run regardless. That he run in no danger of running out of money, I don't guess. I said to my wife today, I said, I wish he'd take some of those millions and build churches with it that he's spending out there, but so much for that. Sorry I got into politics, sir. But thank God we can take our stand. Daniel here took his stand, rose to prime minister. In this chapter 2, this old wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, God allowed him to dream a dream. And beloved, not all dreams are God-given. Some of them are a result of overeating before you retire at night. You'll have a lot of dreams. I was in a dreaming church here a while back. Did a lot of dreaming. And I didn't know it. And here's the statement I made. I said, look, if you've had dreams, don't come out here and bug this pastor with them. They don't want to hear them. If God wants them to have them, he'll give them to them. Keep the dream to yourself. And I said, a lot of it's a result of overeating before you go to bed anyway. And that's what I said. Now listen to this one. That church dreamed, and they came to the services like we do, Pentecostal church like we are, and they would stand up instead of testifying. They'd say, well, I dreamed this week, and tell their dream, and somebody would interpret it. And the pastor, he overate, so he'd tell his dream, and somebody would interpret the pastor's dream. Now, I didn't know that. And you can imagine how I'm going over. Whole church like this. See, we stand up, we say, well, the Lord is good to me this week. He answered prayer and gave me this and that. I've been praying for. No, they stand up and it's dreams, a lot of dreams. I get into more trouble along those lines. I was down in the mountains of Virginia not too long ago, and Ethel's a pretty name for a woman. That's nothing. That's a beautiful name. Nothing wrong with Ethel. So I told him, we preached in a church in California, the early days, where the streaking deal in those days. And one shot through that door and out that door, naked as a jaybird. And I was telling this to the audience, and I hollered out, I said, don't look, Ethel. And the pastor's wife was named Ethel. And I didn't know it. And when I said, don't look, Ethel, she was reading her Bible, and she jumped, and her face turned red. And I was staying in the home, and she was the cook. Yeah, I get into a lot of trouble. Don't mean to. Just do. This was a God-given dream. Now, beloved, in dreams, don't let me discourage you. God can speak to you in a dream. But you have to weigh all things, prove all things, and don't act too quick on dreams. Once in a while, my wife will say, I had an awful dream last night. I said, I don't want to hear it. Well, it's concerning you. I said, that's just why I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go around all nervous today, thinking there might be something to it. Now, I never put much stock in dreams, except here a while back, I did read of finding a lot of money. And I went out and looked, but I didn't find it. I thought there might be something to this one. Well, this dream left him, left its terrifying effects upon him. He called the soothsayers, the astrologers, the stargazers in to give the interpretation. None could do it. Decree was passed that all the wise men should be killed. And that included Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, because they were considered among the wise. And when the decree was passed, all the wise men should be killed, the news reached Daniel. And here's where Daniel calls a prayer meeting. Now, I'd like to say something to you, beloved. When the bottom falls out of everything, you don't know which way to turn. Don't forget the prayer meeting. That's your only answer. As the prayer meeting, build you an altar somewhere. We have passed that way. We know what it is. Times you'd be downtown and the load would hit you like a ton of brick. And I've jumped in the car and left the area and head for the church and build an altar. That'd be any time of the day. We have passed that way where our hearts have been crushed. All of that, but thank God for the altar. And Daniel calls a prayer meeting here, builds an altar, desiring mercies of the God of heaven. And God gave Daniel the dream, the interpretation. They rush him in before the king, and they said, "Oh, king, you saw in your vision, in your dream, you saw a big image, and the image consists of five different kinds of material." He starts to interpret that in chapter 2, verse 38. Said, thou art this head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. This is your kingdom. Another kingdom arise after thee, which is Media Persia, and then the Grecian Empire. The two legs, the eastern and western part of Rome, There are 10 toes representing 10 countries that will be formed out of the 24, 25 states of the old Roman Empire in the last days. It'll be formed into 10 countries here. And the Antichrist will come out of one of those 10 countries and will reign over that area after the rapture of the church. Nothing is stated of the Antichrist in chapter 2 here. But he did notice a stone cut out of the mountain without hand, and the stone smote the image and ground it to powder. Verse 44 and 45, in the days of these kings, those 10 kingdoms, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom here, and of his reign there shall be no end. For as much as you saw that stone will smite the nations here at the Battle of Armageddon, and that stone will fill the whole earth here. As the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the Lord will cover this earth here in the millennial reign of Christ. While Jesus was here on the earth, he said, have ye not read the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. Take this for what it's worth, but according to all available information, the cornerstone arrived early for the temple. They rejected it. They threw it over the hill. It slid down into the valley of Kidron. There the briars and the weeds grew up around the stone. Later in the building of the temple, they needed that stone. They sent for it, but a notation returning saying, we sent you that stone. Then they remembered that was the stone which they had rejected. They got the stone, they brought it up, it fit beautifully into the temple. Here's what he's saying. I've come, I'm being rejected. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whoever the stone falls on will grind him to powder. To Israel, Christ was a stone of stumbling. He was a stone of offense. But to the church, he's the elect stone. He's a precious stone. And no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. We talked to you yesterday about upon this rock, I'm going to build myself a church. And he's still building that church today, and everybody gets saved, becomes a member of this New Testament church, and that's the church he's coming for here. Well, here we see the formation of 10 countries. We go into chapter 7. You not only see the formation, but you see the rise of the Antichrist out of one of those 10 countries here. We're just going to briefly mention this to you here. But here in chapter 7, Daniel pictures Babylon as a lion here. And verse 5, Media Persia is a bear, the Grecian Empire. Daniel wasn't too excited about those. He just spoke of them in a passing way. But verses 7 and 8, he noticed a nondescript beast, terrible, dreadful to look upon, and the beast had 10 horns. Now that's the way it reads. It had 10 horns, not 13. And verse 24 said, these 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise, 7:24, if anybody's looking at it, another shall arise when? A-F-T-E-R. After those 10 countries are formed, the Antichrist will arise out of one of those 10 countries after they're all formed. So the formation of the old Roman Empire hasn't been yet. Don't look for the Antichrist. Paul said he wouldn't be revealed till we go, so don't be looking for him. He won't be revealed till the church goes. He won't rise till after the 10 countries are formed. Neither one of those things have happened yet. Sometime back, I was in Detroit, and there's a popular show there, a talk show. And they called me in on this talk show. Well, the mistake they made, they had another prophecy preacher on there. He came along, too. I met him when I got there. He'd just written a book on Gorbachev being the Antichrist. Had his picture on the front of the book. We're going to have a good time on this popular show. So he's telling them all about Gorbachev being the Antichrist. Had this book he's promoting. He went on a little while, and I got put out. He wrote in on him. I said, "Sir, in all of your talking, you haven't produced one scripture from the Bible to prove your point. 2 Corinthians 13th chapter, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy says the same. Shall every word be established? You should produce chapter and verse for all you're saying. Now give us chapter and verse." I knew he couldn't. So we got into it. And I said, "Daniel said he wouldn't rise until after the 10 countries are formed." That hadn't been. "Paul said he wouldn't be revealed till we go, and you're telling us who he is." And the argument got so hot, the man in charge, he jumped up and rushed out in the room there and swallowed a bunch of pills and came back. And he said, "Folk, I've never been in anything like this in my life. All the phones were lit up, and all I was asking, chapter and verse." I learned that real young. If it's not there, plain in the Bible, forget it. It's not what we think or what we've heard or anything like that. Don't matter who says it. It ought to be chapter and verse to back it up. I learned that when I started to teach. I said I'd give chapter and verse for the things I taught, give chapter and verse for your questions. Answer your questions, two or three plain scriptures from the Word of God. And that's the way it ought to be. If there's no Bible for it, forget it. A lot of people say, "Brother Hall, what's your opinion?" That's, "Well, yours is better than mine." Forget it. That's our problem today. But anyway, this discussion on that program ended up. I said, "Folk, if you have a book out in your home, you listeners right now, if you have a book on Hitler, Tojo, Nimrod, Judas, Roosevelt, Castro, Khrushchev being the Antichrist," I said, "keep it. It's just as good as the one this man telling you about right here." Well, he got up and left. I stayed on another hour. Said he had to catch a plane. I don't know. We'd been on there an hour already. Stick to what that word says. People are wondering what in the world's going on that program. Well, they had me on there, troublemaker. And all I do is ask for chapter and verse. People jump up in my service, "I don't believe this, I believe this and that and the other." Well, all I do is say, "Well, give us chapter and verse, we'll believe it too." That's all. All you have to do. This said he won't rise until AFTER, after the 10 countries are formed. He plucks up three, leaves him seven. He will form the eighth Gentile kingdom that will persecute Israel in the last days. Now notice Daniel only saw 10 horns. We got a popular, they're pretty popular. I see them on a lot of stations. And he's got 13 horns. He said there'll be 13. Then they pluck up three. Now you don't read that anywhere in your Bible. It says you're 10, and we ought to be able to count 10. 10 plucks up 3. It's just as plain, that's the way it reads. Leaves him 7. He himself will form the 8th kingdom. Nowhere do you read he has 13. But this popular man, he said, "Oh, Zoel, I tell you." Well, I don't want to say too much, but anyway, he gets all worked up. But he's got 13. God bless their hearts. I'm sure they're doing a lot of good. And this Antichrist will be a literal human being, as I said, and could be alive today. Now, I do this for your benefit, not to put people down, but to help you. Thank God for these people who's doing good. And but let me give you this one. I heard this the other day, a man I know well, and we've known each other way, way back. And very smart man. But I heard him the other day that the Antichrist is going to be shot in the head, and then he's going to be resurrected, and I don't know what all he said, but now that's not in your Bible. Revelation 17, Revelation 13, speaking of the same thing here, over here to over here. This beast having seven heads, and one of the heads was wounded to death, and it was revived. Those seven heads are seven kingdoms. The beast is the Antichrist. One of the heads was wounded. Well, look at it this way. Here's another thought. Let me give you this one, and then we'll get back to that. John, there are seven kings. Seven kings now. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. Five are fallen, he says, John. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece is fallen. One is, John, Rome was in John's day. The other is not yet come, this revised Roman Empire of 10 countries. When he cometh, he'll continue a short space, 7 years there. But this beast which thou sawest, he is the eighth and is of the seventh. He'll form the eighth Gentile kingdom that will persecute Israel. I've received, I don't know how many calls a few years ago, pastors of big churches, and Brother Hall, we was having a Bible study the other night and said, we run into this, and I said, oh, we don't have time to finish it up. Let's take it up next week. And they had plenty of time. But he said, get your Bible. And I said, well, what is it? No, just give it to me. What have you got? He said, well, here in Revelation, here's the beast. I said, oh, yeah. I said, that's the easiest thing in your Bible. He said, here's the beast that John saw. When I beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. He said, how can a beast be was and is not and yet is? I said, oh, that's the easiest thing in your Bible. John, it was before your day. It is not now because Rome is. And yet shall be revived. The revised Grecian Empire. No such teaching in your Bible that the Antichrist is going to be shot in the head and going to be resurrected, and then we'll make the Antichrist. Born into man's wants to die. If he is shot, he'll go right into hell. But he won't be shot. He'll be alive or wherever when Jesus comes. So it's the country here. Then we got the other teaching, Rome, coming out of Rome. Because Rome was built on what, seven hills or five hills or so. And if you took it like these scriptures I'm reading, five are fallen, you'd have to say five hills flattened out last night. That left one hill, and another hill is going to come up. And see, it gets in a bunch of nonsense. Leave it like it said. John, there are seven kings. There are seven kings, John. Five are fallen. One is. Rome was in John's day. The other is not yet come. When he cometh, he'll continue a short space, this revised Roman Empire. But this Antichrist, he will form the eighth Gentile kingdom. You say, well, there was 10. Yeah, but he plucks up three, see? Coming out of Syria, you got Turkey, Greece, Egypt. All that will be overthrown when this Antichrist rises here. Let's go into the eighth chapter. I'm wondering, I got into this, and I'm wondering if I got into something that I should have informed you about and had you to read up on it, or I'm wondering if you're actually enjoying this, or want me to move on over to something else. But I'll move a little faster here. You enjoying it? All right, well, I got one here. Now, don't leave, because if you leave, I'm going to go too. All right. So let's go into the eighth chapter. Here you see the Antichrist coming out of one of the 10 countries and plucks up three of them. And here, let's take a look at the eighth chapter. John picks out four of these kingdoms here, four of these 10. And limits the Antichrist to four of them. In the eighth chapter now, Just briefly, he noticed the he-goat, verses 3 and 4, a ram, having two horns, verse 20 says of the kings of Media Persia. Verse 5, he noticed the he-goat, verse 21, 22, is the king of Grecia. The notable horn, he says, between his eyes is the first king. That was Alexander the Great. He was the first king of the whole Grecian Empire. He inherited the kingdom from his father Philip II, became the first king of the whole empire. This is history here as well as in your Bible here. But notice when that notable horn was broken off, Alexander died. Four stood up, but not in his power, not in Alexander's power. Alexander died. His four generals seized his kingdom and divided it in modern terms as Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. Greece took a fourfold division, 323 BC, divided into four parts. You say, well, what about Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt? Well, look at verse 9. Out of one of them, out of Greece, Turkey, Syria, Egypt, came forth a little horn, which waxing exceeding great toward the east, toward the west, toward the pleasant land, Palestine. This little horn will make war with the saints. That's tribulation saints. After all the saints leave here, he'll make war with the saints, will overcome and kill them. Modern saints through the tribulation will be on wholesale basis, beloved, during this time here. And then here at the end of the tribulation, Christ will destroy the little horn. Now, Daniel pictures the Antichrist as the little horn. John pictures him as the beast of Revelation 13. Paul speaks of him in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 5 and 6, as the man of sin. When you get all through with it, the Antichrist is a literal human being. And here, he's pictured as coming out of one of those four countries, Greece, Turkey, Syria, Egypt. Alexander's general Seleucus took the Syrian division. Syria takes in Iraq, Iran, Babylon. All of that is in the Syrian division. Now that's Antichrist territory. Antichrist has to come from one of these four, according to the 8th chapter in verse 9. Out of one of them, out of one of those four, this Antichrist, little horn, will come forth. But it didn't say which one there. So we go into chapter 11. Now Daniel picks out two of those countries, Egypt and Syria, those two. Had war for 150 years, ending with the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, as we said. Verse 36 and 37 projects us into the future here of this Syrian king in the last days will overcome Egypt here. He will not honor the God of his fathers. He's not going to honor the God of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, his fathers. He will honor a God whom his fathers knew not. Jesus said while he was here on the earth, John 5:43, he said, I've come in my Father's name. Me he will not receive. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. See, they'll receive the Antichrist, and we question them receiving him anyway if he were not a Jew. They'll form a seven-year covenant with him here. Syria has been talking right along, making a covenant with Israel. So here, they'll form a seven-year covenant, but when this Antichrist sets himself in the temple, pollutes the temple, they will see he's a deceiver, and they will break from him. They will break, and then they must flee out of his area, and much of them flees in the old city of Petra, the ancient capital of Edom. We wrote in the little book there that Jordan and Israel will become friends in the last days. Israel will flee over into Arab territory. Just a few months ago, Israel and Jordan have become friends. My book, when you read in those books, in the books that you've already purchased, when I was here before, remember, you're reading that it's going to be, but a lot of it's already been. See, I wrote in the book that Babylon will become a thriving city in the life it's already. I wrote that Russia will suffer a first defeat, will losing power over Albania, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary. It's already history. So when you read that in the book, just remember, look when it was copyrighted way back, and you see we're writing that it will be, but it's already been. And I thought about rewriting it, but why do that? A lot of people write prophecy after reading it in the newspaper. You got those books dated back to 63, and you can read those very things in there. And it's interesting to be alive and see it all happening. And we're made to wonder how much more we'll get to see before the Lord comes. I don't see how we can see much more, because I feel like we're bordering on this event here. Anyway, in chapter 11 now, my friend over in, a popular minister over in Sanitone that says about the Antichrist going to be shot in the head, he also said that he would be a homosexual. A lot of people saying that. Because he will not worship the God of his fathers, nor any God. He will not desire women, nor any God. If you notice the context, he's not going to worship the God of women. They had idol gods. But he will set himself in the temple, announce himself to be God. That does not prove him to be a homosexual. But not desire women, and desire women's gods. The context reveals altogether different. People have made it. He may well be. We have endorsed every sin that God hates in our country. We have endorsed it and glamorized it. So that's the hour we're living now. Cracker Barrel will not hire a homosexual. So Barbara said one night on the news, she said, well, they ought to protest. Something along that line. So in Detroit, Michigan, the homosexuals got together. Went out to the Cracker Barrel. Holding about 100 or so of them, whatever it was. They marched in front of them on a Sunday. The saints came in, just knocked them out of the way, and they did that about 4 or 5 Sundays and quit. Saints just knocked them out of the way and went right through. Are you still here? Cracker Barrel, it happens, you know what it is. It's a restaurant. Their food's not any better much than some of the other, I guess. I'm not promoting a restaurant at all. I denounce those that have MSG, monosodium, in there. And we ask when we go in, do you have monosodium in your food? Well, it's in the soups, it's in this, it's in that. It got so hot for camel soup, they've come out now with some cans, no MSG. They got it right on the front of the can. Because the TV stations, they were denouncing them. Putting something in there that harms us. They said it does. Pat Robertson played it up for several weeks, warning people about it. But I don't know if he's a doctor or not, or physician. So I know he's off on his rapture. He's the one I was talking about last night, about this rapture. Some woman had a dream 50 years ago, and it didn't come from that. This is old, this doctrine of the rapture of the church. Paul brought it in. Jesus made remarks about it while he was here. I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. Well, here in the 11th chapter, he'll be a Syrian Jew coming out of Syria, the king of the north. A lot of people have had Russia in mind. Listen to this. Russia was never a part of the old Roman Empire. Out of this kingdom, 724, out of the old Roman Empire, will rise the Antichrist. But listen to this. Tidings out of the east and out of the north will trouble the Antichrist. The 11th chapter there, verses 40 on 44. Tidings at 44 out of the north shall trouble him. Now what's Russia is headed for two more defeats. She's already suffering one defeat, losing power over the country she's had power over, swayed power over all these years. And the second defeat will be when the Antichrist goes north and actually will conquer Russia in the last days, become the prince of Meshach and Tubal, leading Russia into the Valley of Megiddo, making his invasion into Jerusalem, Russia along with other allies here. And there's where she'll suffer her third defeat at the Battle of Armageddon. So I don't think we need to be so scared of communism. There for a while, communism is going to sweep the world and we're all going to be under it and take over America. I tell you what, you listen to that news tonight, these gangs that took over Houston, looks like. They got them spotted everywhere. Now, the news had a big map saying, here they're here, and here they're here, it's those spots. We got them. Well, my, they'll move into another spot when you show their location. I tell you, it'd be better sometime not to report a lot of that stuff. And the gang living right in this one spot, they don't rob here. They go out, then come back. The church in Chicago I was preaching years ago, the Good Shepherd Bible Church, right down in the loop, right down in the, some of it's rough right there, and the pastor said it's the best place you'd ever want to live. So these people right around here, these are gang members, they're mean. But said, they don't bother anybody here. They go out and come back here. They live here. He thought it's safe to live right among them, not me. So here in this 11th chapter, notice verse 41. He's going to enter into the glorious land, Palestine. Many countries will be overthrown. Now, I didn't say all of them. Leave it like it reads. Many countries will be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Even Edom, Moab, chief of the children of Ammon. Now here's bordering countries will not be under the reign of the Antichrist. Daniel only saw 10 horns. He didn't see 100 and some countries. It takes him the first 3.5 years to get full power over the old Roman Empire. By that time, your Bible teaches, the kings will submit and give their power under this man of sin. And then Russia gives him trouble. He goes north, conquers Russia, Germany, China, Japan, those eastern countries, all that. He'll go north, conquering those countries. And by that time, the last 3.5 years coming to an end, then he comes back into Jerusalem, going to try and do what he wasn't able to do when he entered in the middle of the tribulation. Now, the first 3 years, we believe he, 3.5 years, he reigned from Babylon. Isaiah 14, verses 3 and 4, he's called the king of Babylon here. He reigned out of Babylon. And then he moves into Jerusalem, forming his covenant, made his covenant with Israel. So he'll move into the Jerusalem in the middle of the week, set himself in the temple there, polluting the temple. And then Titus out of the east north gives him trouble, so he leaves Jerusalem, gives Israel a little breathing spell, and then he comes back to utterly destroy Jerusalem, and he would if it were not for the coming of Christ. That's why you have except those days be shortened to stop. Be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, for Israel's sake, Christ will stop this persecution by him coming, and they'll be slain all over the hillsides of Jerusalem. Now, that's just a little outline here. This will happen after the rapture of the church, when the Antichrist is revealed. And there's no contradiction in Daniel 11:41, along with Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That puts a limitation right there, whose names, showing you not everyone. That word all there is speaking of all in his territory, all in the area of the old Roman Empire, the then known world. Each year, your pastor or someone stands here on this platform and they read what I'm going to tell you right now. Luke 2, around Christmas time, here's what they read. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph and Mary, when you know, well, all the world, all the then-known world. Paul said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. places hadn't heard of the gospel. He's talking of a certain territory. Genesis 6 here, and the end of all flesh, God says, has come before me. All flesh. All of what he's talking about. Water baptism here by John. There went out all Judea, all Samaria, all Jerusalem, and were all baptized of John the River Jordan. All? No. John looked at that bunch and said, "You generation of vipers." He wouldn't have made too good a pastor today. "You bunch of crooked snakes out there. Who warned you to flee right to come?" No, he wouldn't have made the best, maybe. All of what he's talking about. Sometimes we'll be at a big gathering, go back home, and they say, "How was the crowd?" I tell you, everybody in town was there tonight. "Ones you talking to didn't go." We use a lot of slang. Where I was raised in the mountains of Virginia, we used a lot of slang down there. A lot of people come there and they couldn't understand what you're talking about. We pastored a church down there, our first church. My wife is raised out in Utah and Idaho, so we take a little church down there in the mountains of Virginia. Paid me $3 every 2 weeks. Sometimes you pass the offering, you get one buffalo nickel. It's paid me for what it's worth, a little hard to live on it. But anyway, big crowd, but no money in those days. It's back when a dollar was a dollar. So we used a lot of slang, a lot of trying to convey things. But after the service one morning, my wife said, we're to go home with these people for dinner. I said, "We are?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd they say?" They said, "You all come go home with us." I said, "They didn't mean a word of that." I said, "What? Well, why did they?" I said, "That's the way we talk down here. They didn't mean that." I said, "It's just a saying. Now, when they want you to go eat, they'll say, 'Look, we've prepared dinner. We'd like you to come and have dinner with us.'" I said, "It'd be altogether different." And we went one time, got in trouble, but she didn't understand that. I did. I was raised down there. "Well, you folk come go home with us." My wife said, "Well, I guess we can. I'll get my husband here." And no, you don't go when they say that. We used a lot of slang down there. I've heard people say, "Oh, I tell you, I almost died today from that heat." "Ah, almost died, that means you knocked out and half unconscious. You just got hot, that's all." Women say, "Oh, I tell you, my feet's killing me." Killing you? No. Swallow your pride and buy just one size bigger. That's all you have to do. I could say we got hot today. I asked a pastor for his Mercedes. Asked if he had an extra Mercedes to go to, drive over here once in a while. He didn't have one. But he gave me the next best, the old brown van out here. It's got four air conditioners if you open all four windows. But I tell you what, I figured out today, driving it down to that mall, I figured out today it's the fastest thing I've ever ridden in all of my life. It's 25 miles to the right, 25 to the left, 45 straight ahead, and about 15 and 20 up and down. It's the fastest thing I've ever driven yet. If you put it all together, you're driving 100 and some miles. No, everything's fine. After that, he'll tell me tonight, "You got, give me my keys. You're not having..." No, we made it fine. He gave me that to run back and forth up here to eat. But you get tired eating that same place or two all the time. Same menu, never change it. Amen. You say, "Well, can't you?" Yeah, you can cook certain things, but the hard time you fool with all that and go through all that, you can run up there and buy it quicker and cheaper. Anyway, so much for that. Isn't this an interesting service, how you leave the deer and chase the rabbit. Verse 45, he's going to plant the tabernacle on the glorious holy mount. That is old Mount Moriah, where the Dome of the Rock, the Mosque of Omar, stands tonight, a beautiful Muslim temple. If that temple's in the way, it could be moved. One Jew said there could be an act of God to move that temple. We know what he meant. So anyway, there'll be a temple built on old Mount Moriah. I'm going to help you with something, and don't get offended now and say, no, this is for you. These are good people. They had four experts here a while back on Trinity broadcast. Four experts. Talking about the temple going to be built. And on old Mount Moriah. Oh, they were just shouting, having a big time. Said, oh, the temple's coming up. That's all good. And Jesus is going to come through the eastern gate. He's going to come into this temple. Oh, no. He has nothing to do with this temple. That's the Antichrist will set himself in that temple. That's the millennial temple Christ will erect when he comes back to the earth, 1 mile square, and people go up year to year to worship the Lord. And they were just shouting, having a big time at Jesus, going to march through the eastern gate, coming into this temple that they're going to be. He has nothing to do with this temple. Then you've got the Lord coming over here, coming in the temple, and all raining here on the earth, and all of that messes up the whole thing. And I'm listening to that, and you can imagine how I'm feeling. About as mad as a hornet. And I say, you bunch, you ought to have been to Bible study some Wednesday night. Look at the people out there that you are fooling, confusion everywhere. But listen to this. They said, they're searching now for the Ark of the Covenant. Soon as they find the Ark of the Covenant, they're looking for that. One says, oh, they found it. Where'd they find it? Oh, found it over in, what is that, Massa? Where? Ethiopia. They found it over in Ethiopia. Said when they was building the Ark of the Covenant, the man asked them to make a replica of it, and when he left, he stole the original. So there they found it over there. Nathan said, oh, no, that's not it at all. Said the Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. So he read the 11th chapter of Revelation, said the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that was the pattern that Moses made it after. Moses make everything after the pattern that I've showed you. That's a different than this wood cart down here on the earth. Now, he's as crazy as the rest of them were. And he had all the degrees after his name. Are you enjoying this or not? If you don't want me, it's not to put them down. I'm just showing you. Those are smart people, and they're good people. I'm doing this for your benefit. So, a carpenter, he has a pattern. Olden days, they had a pattern. They'd mark on a pattern, and they made all those joists size of that pattern. Now, if he didn't use that pattern, pretty soon that board's going to be a foot long or short. It's going to be all messed up. He has to use that. Now, Moses, you make everything after the pattern, which I've showed you here, and that's a different altogether than this wood cart down here on the earth. What happened to the Ark of the Covenant? No one knows. The last record we have is time of Nebuchadnezzar, evidently destroyed, fulfilled its purpose. Same as Noah's Ark, it served its purpose back here. But this is the encouraging part. They are coming up, they tell us, with the temple to be built. Workers are being trained, all this is going on, and different things like it. But here's the encouraging part. The Antichrist doesn't occupy that temple till the middle of the tribulation period. They'd have 3.5 years to build that after the rapture, before he occupies the temple. But if it's introducing itself already on the surface, then it makes us think, boy, it won't be long. So many things like that, just so many things like that, that we got to get out of here. Now, we could go on and on here, but let's switch it to you for your questions, if you have any. Or have you learned anything this tonight, or was I just... Amen. I don't know. I just took off on what I thought I ought to do. Maybe I missed it. I hope I didn't. I decided that when I started teaching. And I'm sure I talked on a little of that when I was here before, but a lot of you didn't remember it anyway. Any questions? This is your part of the service. Yes, sir.
I've often wondered about the Jews, whether or not, you know, they rejected the stone like you were talking about. get special rights?
Do they get what special what?
No,
no, God's without respect of person. Israel, he has made covenants and promises to Abraham and to his seed, and Israel will be humbled here in low oppression to where she'll be in bitterness for his coming, mourn for his coming here, and Christ will come and all Israel will be saved here. This is a time when God will deal with Israel as a nation, but not only Israel, there'll be great multitudes of Gentiles saved through this same period of time. Daniel, Revelation, the 7th chapter, verse 9. After the seed of 144,000, the prophet looks, and, or John looks and said, I saw a number no man can number of all tribes, kindred, tongues, peoples, and nations. They washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that came out of great tribulation and so forth. So no, Gentiles will be blessed here as well as Jews. But God has made covenants and promises to Israel. See, he came to his own received him not. They rejected him. So blindness imparted to them. That is, they're blind to this coming here. They don't believe he's come. They're still looking for their Messiah. I noticed they're going to fast and pray. Picked up a little news, just casually listened. Caught it on the news that Houston there, the Jews are going to fast and pray for 24 hours. They're going to pray. And it's for the sins that, this past year, year of forgiveness. Now that's a good one. You can sin all this next year, and then next year you can get, just pray and get forgiveness for the whole year. So, I don't know if I got your question or not, but anything else you want to ask? We can help you with. This is your service, Bible study. Doesn't hurt to ask questions. I remember I used to ask questions in the classroom. You've asked questions in the classroom. I remember Finis Dake, Bible teacher. I'm in the classroom, and I don't know what came up, but I had a man by the side of me. He was good to argue, but he couldn't give scriptures. I'd mark the scriptures for him, and we'd argue with Dake. Not that we didn't believe what he said, but we just wanted to get other thoughts on it. And I think eternal security or something come up. Anyway, I quoted the scripture. I said, now look, I said, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he'll not utterly be cast down. He can go out here and do things and sin and this and that and the other. God won't cast him down. I didn't believe that, but I was using it. He said, read that again. I said, the steps of a good man. He said, stop right there. He said, a good man won't be doing the things you're talking about. And I loved that. See, I held on to it. That's what I wanted. I'm telling you that to tell you this. Don't sit there and think, well, I'd like to ask a question. People think I'm funny. No, it don't mean you don't know anything about it. Your fine pastor has set aside these few nights for this type of a service and for your benefit. He studied this. He knows this. But it's for you, for the church here. And take advantage of it. If we can help you anyway, we want to be a blessing. When I pastored a church, well, I got all types of ministers. Finis Dake helped me a meeting. I taught these same things that he taught me, but he came in, I had him to teach, and I had others to teach, and I had people pray for the sick, and had people, different types of ministry. And I heard a man one time on the tabernacle, that ministry's gone. When I was growing up, the minister came and brought a big tabernacle, a model of the Moses tabernacle, a little model on a table. And he told us all about the tabernacle. Well, it's good to know that. And there are all kinds of good stuff for the church. If you have the same type all the time, well, this is the same thing. Well, yeah, it's not the best. Did I see a hand here? Yes.
As Christians, aren't we supposed to pray for Jesus to come?
Start out again.
As Christians, are we to pray that Jesus comes quickly? I mean, that we, in our prayers,
are we to
pray
for his coming? Well, John did in the last verse of Revelation or so. He made a little request there. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'd see no wrong with in it, begging for his coming to deliver people. I do it a lot myself, to be honest with you. I pray, God, how come you haven't sent your son already? I get to argue with God. How come you haven't sent him? Look at here. Well, look at this happening. Look at, and a lot of people say, oh, now, the Lord's not coming because a lot more people to be saved. Yeah, but a lot more people going to hell, too. So, but it's wrong to set dates. Brethren, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. God said in his own power, because they asked Jesus there when he was coming. He said, I don't know. He said, the angels don't even know, but my Father only. But boys, I tell you what, now if you ask some of the preachers, they can tell you exactly when I'm coming. Because they've been predicting it since 1800. But I want to leave this with you tonight. Your Bible says he'll come again. The prophets of old said he'd come again. I was quoting something the other night. I was quoting Enoch, seventh from Adam, said the Lord will come, speaking of the second coming. I said, Genesis 49:10, I said, Moses said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh comes. I said, Moses said he was coming again. And we got home, my wife said, I've never heard you say Moses. I said, what about Moses? When did Moses ever say that? As well, don't you know he wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books? Amen. Angels said he'd come again. Paul said you can believe the angels. They give a sure word of prophecy. Well, Pastor, God bless you tonight as you close the service the way you feel led. See, a lot of you come in a little late thinking the offering would already be taken. But we waited for you. You remember Catherine Kuhlman praying for the sick in the early days? She'd come out on the platform, said, you've been waiting for me, or I've been waiting for you, whatever. Did a great work for God. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give him a hand. Amen. I pray that.